raining like a river to keep flowing. Ain't it like the meek to find the strength to keep on going? When it seems that justice just don't bend. Ain't it like a winding river, my old friend? Ain't it like a mountain to stand tall? Ain't it like the downtrodden to rise after they fall? When the climb up top don't seem to end. Ain't it like the highest mountain, my old friend?
And now, what it really means, with your hosts, Brad Shepard and Paul Harrell.
Welcome to the show, everyone. It's Wednesday, January 27th, 2021. Paul is absent this week. He's dealing with a private family matter. And I do ask that you keep him and his family in your thoughts and in your prayers. I don't know if you saw this, but Joe Biden has officially taken office. It started off with a bang. A little bit of difficulty. I don't know if you saw it, but apparently the Biden team fired Donald Trump's butler before Joe Biden was sworn in. And therefore, he had no one to let him into the White House. He was locked out for a period of time. So essentially, that's how his tenure as our illegitimate president began. it's very fitting. Anyway, I want to talk about Joe Biden's lies and mixed messaging. You know, for 4 years, the left and Joe Biden told us that Donald Trump lied constantly. We were beaten over the head with that by the corporate media. Donald Trump, orange man, bad. He lies. They kept count of his lies. Well, let's go over some of Joe Biden's lies and mixed messaging. By the way, a week into the job only, when Donald Trump implemented a travel ban on China, Joe Biden called it xenophobic. There were a couple of tweets on that. I don't know if you remember, but he claimed those restrictions wouldn't work. Less than a year later, illegitimate President Biden has implemented his own travel ban on South Africa, Brazil, Great Britain, and 26 other European countries. Who's the xenophobe now, Joe? Who built the cages, Joe? Biden's press secretary said the Trump vaccination plan was worse than they could have imagined. They said they were starting from scratch. Staffers later had to admit to CNN there was nothing for them to rework regarding the vaccine rollout. In fact, Trump's vaccine rollout plan already had Biden's administration on course to meet their goal of 100 million vaccinated in 100 days. So that was a big old fat lie. Biden claimed during the campaign trail he was going to shut down the virus. You must remember this. You have to attack the virus. Trump did nothing. I'm going to stop it. He was going to shut down the virus. In only his second week in office, with infections and deaths from COVID-19 continuing to increase, Biden said, and I quote, "There's nothing we can do to change the trajectory of the pandemic in the next several months," unquote. Okay, so he had a plan. He needed a plan. That was Trump's problem. He didn't have a plan, but Biden had one. He was going to attack the virus. Then he gets into office and, you know what, guys? There's really nothing we can do, so everybody just remain calm. Biden signed an executive order requiring mask wearing on federal land. I'm sure you saw this. Biden and his family, there's quite a few people, by the way, they were seen at the Lincoln Memorial together none of them wearing masks. Yes, he was violating the executive order he had just signed. When questioned about it, his press secretary, who I have to admit is such a disaster that it's actually funny to watch, she said they weren't wearing masks because they were celebrating and we have bigger things to worry about. You know, I remember a time when the left criticized Donald Trump for not setting the example by wearing a mask. I guess it's more Democrat do as I say, not as I do policy. When asked if his goal of 100 vaccinations in 100 days was too modest, Joe Biden snipped at a reporter saying, quote, "When I announced it, you all said it wasn't possible. Give me a break. Come on, man." Unquote. The reality is, very few major publications have been critical of that at all, much less all of them. Less than 2 weeks after calling for unity, Joe Biden smeared Senator Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz as Nazi collaborators. That'll certainly bring everyone together. That certainly won't promote violence. I mean, they talk about Donald Trump and this impeachment trial, and he incited violence. And here you literally have the illegitimate president of the United States comparing two congressmen to Nazi collaborators. Do you think that could incite violence? Do you think that's a safety risk for them? That's unacceptable. Joe Biden said he will not ban fracking, no matter how many times Donald Trump repeats that lie. You may remember that from the campaign trail. Once elected, he immediately moved to ban fracking, costing Americans tens of thousands of jobs, raising gas prices, and making us dependent on foreign oil. All during a pandemic, by the way, with tens of millions of people out of work. The union of those workers who were laid off due to Joe Biden's fracking ban, want to guess who they endorsed? Yeah, if you said Joe Biden, you'd be correct. I mean, how did you not see that coming? And part of me, a little part of me, you know, kind of feels bad, but at the end of the day, enough is enough. You get what you voted for. That's what you voted for, and I'm happy for you because that's what you're getting. Joe Biden promised to address police violence and mass incarceration on day one. He's now taking some executive order action. He still refused, however, to meet with Black Lives Matter, which has BLM advocate Sean King, a.k.a. Talcum X, a.k.a. Martin Luther Cream, a.k.a. Snow J. Simpson, mad as hell. Mad as hell. The truth is, we haven't even really dived into personnel and policy yet in a significant way. And he's already the biggest disaster of a president in my lifetime. How many people do you think are missing Donald Trump right about now? Maybe they would admit it. Maybe they wouldn't. But I see a lot of people on the left who aren't defending this, who are nervous, who are looking at the bottom line results of Joe Biden and saying, oh boy, we're a week in, and what the hell have we done? This is what you voted for. Forget the voter fraud. I mean, there was voter fraud. It's 100%. It's not even debatable. This election was stolen. Donald J. Trump won re-election. But let's put that aside, because the truth is there are still tens of millions of people that voted for Joe Biden. There are tens of millions of people that thought he was a good idea. Now, what is happening? Well, he's a complete disaster. He's destabilizing America. He's America last. We're just getting started. He's just getting warmed up. And people are nervous. People on the left as well. But this is what you voted for. This is what you asked for. This is what you voted for because Donald Trump may have had America First policies, but you didn't like his mean tweets. So now you get a guy who is killing American jobs, but he doesn't send mean tweets. He just lies to you. You want to be lied to, don't you? You need the comfort of being lied to rather than the reality, which may be a little harsher than your sensitive feelings can handle. And so this is what you end up with, ladies and gentlemen. Well, one of Joe Biden's first actions after being sworn into office was to sign the executive order on preventing and combating discrimination on the basis of gender identity or sexual orientation. At face value, it seems harmless enough, right? But what this really means is men can now use women's bathrooms, women's locker rooms, and even play women's sports. Folks, this is an attack on women. That's what this is. This isn't empowering women. It's an attack on them. Men are designed differently than women. There are things women can do that men can't and vice versa. They're uniquely different, and that's okay, and we can recognize that. But men, on average, are physically superior, bigger, stronger, built differently than women. We're not going to ask men to have babies. But men are built differently, and the fact that we can no longer recognize that under Joe Biden, the fact that we're going to have Paulina, who was Paul yesterday, that now is going to try out for the women's track and field meet and beat them all by 5 minutes without breaking a sweat. She's going to steal your scholarship, quote unquote, she. She is going to steal the gold medal, the trophy, the adulation, the success. I don't know how you can look at this and think it's a good idea. It's harmful to women who participate in sports. There's a reason we have a WNBA and an NBA, right? Put an NBA player in the WNBA. He'll dominate. It's not even close. That's why there's two different leagues. That's why in the UFC, the women fight the women and the men fight the men. Folks, this is not controversial. But now it is. Now, a man who may be a spectrum of sexualities is going to go into, potentially, your young daughter's locker room or bathroom and shower and change with them. You're going to have Paulina, 6 foot tall, 200 pounds, with a penis, pretending he's a woman. And somebody's going to tell you that's normal? No, hell no. That's not normal. We can't celebrate that. That has to be stopped. Every single attorney general in the United States should be suing over this. They absolutely should be protecting the women of their states, protecting our daughters. This is not okay, and we can't pretend it is either. And by the way, it's not bigoted to point this out. Well, that executive order was one of many. And Joe Biden has 30-something executive orders already signed in his first week as president of the United States. It's more than any president in recorded U.S. history. Now, coincidentally, he had attacked Donald Trump for the amount of executive orders he signed Biden has blown them all out of the water. You have to govern by coalition, he said. Signing that many executive orders is ruling by dictatorship. Well, he's taken that dictatorship idea to the next level. But perhaps there is none more dangerous out of that entire list of executive orders he signed than these three. These three, in my opinion, are the most dangerous to our national security, and I want to talk about them. And it starts with illegal immigration. So essentially, there was executive orders around illegal immigration, one stopping the border wall that President Trump was building. Now, I've never believed that the wall is the end-all be-all. There's got to be border patrol, and there's got to be modern technology so that you can track underground tunnels, use drones, et cetera, right? But the wall is a big piece, no question. It's a big piece. Maybe they get over the wall, maybe they don't, but maybe by the time they get over the wall, they've had an opportunity to spot someone and detain them. The wall clearly works. It works across the world. Just ask Israel. So yeah, I'm for the wall. The wall is a good thing. It can't be the only illegal immigration measure or deterrent, but it's very important. And now Joe Biden has stopped that. Joe Biden is signaling to illegal immigrants on our southern border that we're open for business. There was another order that released all detainees and halted deportations of violent felons and sex offenders for 100 days. This was outrageous. He essentially de facto ended our immigration system with these executive orders. This would throw our system into complete chaos. And fortunately, a federal judge on Tuesday barred the U.S. government from enforcing a 100-day deportation moratorium that is a key immigration priority of President Joe Biden. That's a report from the AP. The U.S. district judge is Drew Tipton, and he issued a temporary restraining order sought by Texas. God bless Texas again. They tried to save the nation in the presidential election, and they're coming through again. They sued on Friday against a Department of Homeland Security memo, which had instructed immigration agencies to pause most deportations. Tipton said the Biden administration had failed to provide any concrete, reasonable justification for a 100-day pause on deportations. And he's right. There was no reason for it, other than to send our system into chaos, right? You're telling them, we're open for business. Come on in. Come on in. There's nothing we're going to do about it. Come across our border. I mean, this is a disaster. This is a move you would make to sabotage a country. This is the opposite of America First. The next order is the Keystone XL pipeline. That decision. And we saw the impact. I talked about it already. Tens of thousands of jobs lost. And you just have to, you know, you just have to shake your head again, because this is America Last. And it's propping up our enemies across the world. They're pleased about this. They want this. They want us to use foreign oil. We were energy independent under President Trump. That was a good thing, right? Gas prices even went down. Now, what you saw immediately when this decision was put into place is gas prices went up. And keeping in the America Last theme, and this is really troubling, especially when you take into account the ties between Joe Biden, his family, and the Chinese Communist Party. President Biden revoked a Trump-era executive order that sought to keep foreign countries and companies out of America's bulk power systems, principally entities associated with the Chinese Communist Party, as part of his executive order on protecting public health and the environment and restoring science to tackle the climate crisis. I don't know about you, but I don't want China being part of our power grid. I don't want them being associated with that. I don't want them being a part of that system. That's extremely dangerous. Do you want China being able to take down our power grid? Do you know what a disaster that would be to America? That's a modern threat. The wars aren't fought boots on the ground anymore, folks. The wars are modern. They're technology, right? And this is one of those examples, the power grid. It's just creating chaos in our country, and it's America last. And I don't understand it, except his ties with China, which would lead you to believe he's compromised. And again, the press secretary, when questioned about this, had no answer. This is a very troubling move by Joe Biden. Dr. Fauci. Gosh. This guy is a piece of work, as you already know. But now it's being reported, that Dr. Deep State, as I call him, is reportedly the highest paid federal employee in the U.S., allegedly making $417,608 in 2019. And if you didn't think that Fauci was a complete deep state hack, take a listen to his appearance on the Rachel Maddow show. The mask, so to speak, is finally coming off.
Dr. Fauci, should we expect to hear from you and from Dr. Messonnier and Dr. Schuchat and other senior scientists and senior supervisors of these agencies and on a regular basis? I know that, as we've been talking about, the country really trusts you in particular, but we've seen the sort of disappearance, the sort of muzzling of some of these other senior folks within the government. Do you think that we'll have more access to you, both the press and the public?
I'm positive of it. Rachel, I've been wanting to come on your show for months and months. You've been asking me to come on your show for months and months, and it's just gotten blocked. Let's call it what it is. It just got blocked because they didn't like the way you handle things, and they didn't want me on there. I mean, it was so clear when we sent it down. Why would you want to go on Rachel Maddow show? Well, because I like her, and she's really good. It doesn't make any difference. Don't do it. I don't think you're going to see that now. I think you're going to see a lot of transparency. You know, you might not see everybody as often as you want, but you're not going to see deliberate holding back of good people when the press asks for them. I mean, we were assured that that's the case. You know, and that goes along with what you were mentioning before about different types of pressures that are put on. It was a tough situation. It really was.
It's just incredible. This guy is a complete joke. And he says things about the vaccines, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. And when he's pressed on it, he's confused. He's a complete blundering idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Take a listen.
On the vaccines, you just drove home that point of how important it is to get this out there. I want to play some tape here for you and get you to clarify when U.S. taxpayers can expect to get their vaccine.
At least 100 million COVID vaccine shots into the arms of the American people in the first 100 days. 100 million shots in the first 100 days.
You know, the goal that's been set, which I believe is entirely achievable, is to have 100 million people vaccinated in the first 100 days.
Both vaccines?
Primary and boost. Yes.
Primary and boost.
Yeah.
In 100 days.
Yes. Yes.
So, Doctor, in that exchange, you seem to be promising a bit more than the president is. Can you just bottom line it? How many people will be fully vaccinated within 100 days?
Yeah, so let me clarify that, because there was a little bit of a misunderstanding. What we're talking about is 100 million shots in individuals. So shots, as in other words, when you get down to, let's say, a certain part of the 100 days,
at the end of 100 days, you're going to have some people who will have gotten both shots and some will still be on their first shots. What the president is saying, 100 million shots in the arms of people within 100 days.
So reportedly, the transition team projections are that that's more like 67 million people by April, by the end of 100
right.
days. Is
right.
that an accurate number?
Right. I haven't done the math myself, but it okay. sounds very much like the accurate number where you're having people who will have gotten two doses and then some that are still on their first dose. When you add them all up and you look at shots, it's 100 million shots in the arms of people within the first 100 days.
Okay. So the Trump administration's Health and Human Services Secretary said on this program in December that just with Pfizer and Moderna's vaccine, they could get to 100 million shots by the end of February. President Biden's goal puts that benchmark out in April. Are you deliberately setting expectations low?
No, that's not the case.
Now, Fauci, who initially said, nobody should be wearing masks. There's no need, and they really don't provide any real protection other than essentially making people feel more comfortable that they do. Then he moved to wear a mask. Now, Dr. Dumbass is saying, wouldn't be such a bad idea to wear two masks. Two masks is now it. Double mask. I mean, this is getting to total upside down crazy town. You can't listen to anything that Anthony Fauci says. He is a complete joke. He should be completely disregarded by everybody in this country. And now there is already a corporate media effort looking at, what about three masks? Yeah, why not? Let's just put on 20 of them. Why not 30? This is crazy. And that's exactly what we should call it. We don't need to listen to these people. They're not experts. They are lunatics. They are activists for the left, for the ruling class. And they don't have our best interest in mind. I sure as hell am not wearing two masks or three masks. I mean, think about it. Anything that gets trapped in there is stuck in there. That could be carbon dioxide you're letting out. That could be a lot of things. It's trapped in there. Around your mouth, it's not healthy. It's harder to breathe. This insanity has to stop, and we must resist it. And I don't know if you heard about this, but Joe Biden is potentially adopting Transportation Secretary pick Pete Buttigieg's idea of proposing a new tax on how many miles you drive as opposed to the traditional gas tax we have today. It's a policy which, quite simply, would hurt people who live in rural areas. Think about that. Get rid of the traditional gas tax like you have today. And people who live in the country, people who live in the sticks, who are overwhelmingly Trump voters, will now have to pay more in taxes than your traditional city dweller Biden voter based on where they live. This is insanity. We cannot allow this to happen. You cannot punish people for wanting to live in a more remote area. There's less crime. You have more land. It's more peace and quiet. And you're going to be punished for that. You know, it's just crazy. It's crazy. But if Pete Buttigieg has his way and Biden likes this idea, that's exactly what's going to happen. And finally, I want to talk about the Trump impeachment. Oh, boy. The Trump impeachment trial is set to begin on February 8th. It'll be a total clown show. It's unconstitutional by all accounts. Donald Trump is no longer in office. This is to put a stain on his reputation. There was a discussion about this in Congress, and there was a speech by Rand Paul where he talked about how ridiculous this was. Take a listen.
This impeachment is nothing more than a partisan exercise designed to further divide the country. Democrats claim to want to unify the country, but impeaching a former president, a private citizen, is the antithesis of unity. Democrats brazenly appointing a pro-impeachment Democrat to preside over the trial is not fair or impartial and hardly encourages any kind of unity in our country. No, unity is the opposite of this travesty we are about to witness. If we are about to try to impeach a president, where is the Chief Justice? If the accused is no longer president, where is the constitutional power to impeach him? Private citizens don't get impeached. Impeachment is for removal from office, and the accused here has already left office. Hyperpartisan Democrats are about to drag our great country down into the gutter of rancor and vitriol, the likes of which has never been seen in our nation's history. Instead of doing the nation's work, with their new majorities in the House, the Senate, and the executive branch, Democrats are wasting the nation's time on a partisan vendetta against a man no longer in office. It's almost as if they have no ability to exist except in opposition to Donald Trump. Without him as their boogeyman, they might have to legislate and to actually convince Americans that their policy prescriptions are the right ones. Democrats are about to do something no self-respecting senator has ever stooped to. Democrats are insisting the election is actually not over, and so they insist on regurgitating the bitterness of the election. This acrimony they are about to unleash has never before been tried. Why? Because calmer heads have typically prevailed in our history and allowed public opinion to cast blame where blame is deserved. This sham of an impeachment will ostensibly ask whether the president incited the reprehensible behavior and violence of January 6th, when he said, "I know everyone here will soon march to the Capitol to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard." Peacefully and patriotically, hardly words of violence. But what of Democrat words? What of Democrat incitement to violence? No Democrat will honestly ask whether Bernie Sanders incited the shooter that nearly killed Steve Scalise and volunteer coach. The shooter nearly pulled off a massacre. I was there because he fervently believed the false and inflammatory rhetoric spewed by Bernie and other Democrats, such as the Republican health care plan for the uninsured is that you die. As this avowed Bernie supporter shot Steve Scalise, nearly killing him, and shot one of our coaches and two or three of our staff, he screamed, "This is for health care." Ask me or anyone if that's incitement. No Democrat will ask whether Cory Booker incited violence when he called for his supporters to get up in their face of Congress people, a very visual and specific incitement. No Democrat will ask whether Maxine Waters incited violence when she literally told her supporters, and I quote, that if you see a member of the Trump administration at a restaurant, at a department store, at a gas station, or any place, you create a crowd and you push back on them. Is that not incitement? My wife and I were pushed and surrounded and screamed at by this same type of mob that Maxine likes to inspire. It's terrifying to have a swarm of people threatening to kill you, cursing at you, and literally holding you hostage until police come to your rescue. That night we were assaulted by the crowd. I wasn't sure if we'd survive even with the police protection. But no Democrat has ever considered impeaching Maxine for her violent rhetoric. In fact, Republicans, to our credit, have never once thought it legitimate to formally censor or impeach these Democrats. No Republican has sought to use the government to hold these Democrats responsible for Antifa and Black Lives Matter violence that has consumed our cities all summer, resulting in over $1 billion of destruction, looting, and property damage. Not one Republican said, oh, let's impeach the Democrats who are inciting this, because it would be ridiculous. Many on the Democrat side of the aisle cheered them on. Kamala Harris famously offered to pay the bill for those who were arrested. I wonder if she'll be brought up on charges of inciting violence for that now that she's vice president. Should Kamala Harris be impeached for offering to pay for violent people to get out of jail who've been burning our cities down? No, and no Republican has offered that, because we're not going down the road that Democrats have decided, this low road of impeaching people for political speech. Should Republicans impeach the Democrat mayor of Seattle, who incited and condoned violence by calling the armed takeover of part of her city a summer of love? Any Republicans try to impeach her? On June 8th, the New York Post, citing U.S. Justice Department statistics, reported that more than 700 law enforcement officers were injured during the Antifa Black Lives Matter riots. There were at least 19 murders, including 77-year-old retired police officer David Dorn. Yet Democrats insist on applying a test of incitement to a Republican that they refuse to apply to themselves. I want the Democrats to raise their hands if they have ever given a speech that says, take back, fight for your country. Who hasn't used the words fight figuratively? And are we going to put every politician in jail? Are we going to impeach every politician who has used the words fight figuratively in a speech? Shame. Shame on these angry, unhinged partisans who are putting forth this sham impeachment, deranged by their hatred of the former president. Shame on those who seek blame and revenge and who choose to pervert a constitutional process while doing so. I want this body on record, every last person here. Is this how you think politics should be? Look, we've now got crazy partisans on the other side of the aisle trying to censor and remove two of the Republican senators for their political position. Now look, I disagreed. I don't think Congress should overturn the Electoral College. But impeaching or censoring or expelling a member of Congress you disagree with? Is the truth so narrow that only you know the truth? We now have the media on your side saying there is only one set of facts, one set of truth, and you can only interpret it this way. Now we have seven senators on the other side trying to expel, censor, or impugn two senators on this side. And I defend them, not because I defend their position. I disagreed with their position. But you can't impeach, censor, expel people you disagree with. What's this coming to? In a few minutes, I will insist on a vote to affirm that this proceeding we are about to enter is unconstitutional, that impeachment of a private citizen is illegal and essentially a bill of attainder, and that no sense of fairness or due process would allow the judge in the proceeding to be a partisan Democrat already on favor of the impeachment. A sham, this is. A travesty. A dark blot on the history of our country. I urge my colleagues to reconsider this kangaroo court and move forward to debate the great issues of our day. With that, I'd like to relinquish the last moment or two of my time to a senator from Wisconsin.
Overall, I thought Rand put it pretty well. I think he showed some weakness, too. I think he showed why Republicans never win, because he didn't stand with Trump in objecting to those electors, and that was an enormous mistake. The GOP never learns. They do the same thing over and over, and they're gracious losers, and they're never willing to politically fight back, and they're never willing to abide by the rules set by Democrats who use their power to punish their opponents. They want to take this moral high road. They want to point out these double standards. And at the end of the day, that does nothing. You're watching the culture of America be infiltrated by the left and poisoned by the left's ideology. While you go on Fox News and talk about the double standard, it means nothing. I thought it was overall well done. Again, you know, the GOP, you know, they're never going to win until they learn. But the trial is set to begin soon. And Rand Paul did put forth a motion that this was unconstitutional. There was a vote, and the vote lost. There will be a trial. What good came out of this is it became clear, based on the vote, that this impeachment is dead on arrival. There will be not enough votes in the Senate to do anything, which is a good thing. But I'll tell you this, it provides an interesting opportunity. What do I mean? Well, if I'm Donald Trump, I want my team and myself to be there to get my say. Why is that? Because Congress has now provided you with the floor to talk about voter and election fraud. And you can spend your time talking about the big steal and letting everyone in America hear it. Because as you know, the corporate media has intentionally refused to report on that information and intentionally discredited that talking point. But the evidence is there. It's extremely clear. So this would actually provide the platform for him to do that. So I hope he gets that opportunity. And I think Congress, frankly, would be foolish to allow that, but I hope he gets it. But, you know, the thing that's crazy to me, and of course we know this is just such a clown show, right? Because Donald Trump is already out of office. But we are in the midst of a pandemic with lockdown policies that these very politicians created, that they promoted, that they endorsed and supported, that they beat you over the head with the moral drum. Metaphorically, you got to stay home. It's for everybody's safety. You can't see your grandmother, et cetera, et cetera. You lose your job. Well, that's okay. The government's done essentially nothing to help you, literally. But they're going to put that aside. They're going to put COVID relief spending aside so they can have a sham impeachment trial that they now know is dead in the water. And that's how much these people care about you and I. And that's exactly why they deserve our utter contempt and nothing more. That's all the time we have this week. Thoughts and prayers to Paul and his family. And we'll be back next week. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at TheBradShepherd, on Gab at Brad Shepherd, and on CloudHub at TheBradShepherd. Of course, you can follow my work on UncoveredDC.com and BradShepherd.substack.com. We are the resistance. We are holding the Biden administration accountable each and every week. You don't want to miss it.
Ain't it like a river to keep flowing? Ain't it like the meek to find the strength to keep on going? When it seems that justice just don't bend? Ain't it like a winding river, my old friend? Ain't it like a mountain to stand tall? Ain't it like the downtrodden to rise after they fall? When the climb up top don't seem to end? Ain't it like the highest mountain, my old friend? Ain't the roads to freedom rougher than they seem? Don't the plans of peace begin with just one dream? Ain't it like an ocean to surround? Ain't it like a sturgeon during a storm to never drown? Even if the waves just won't relent? like a mighty ocean, my old friend. Keep on blowing. Ain't it like the voiceless to find the words to make it known? When you think the message can't transcend, ain't it like the howling wind, my old friend? Ain't it just like an ocean? Ain't it like a mountain? Ain't it like a river, my old friend?